I'm really thrilled to be here. As Pastor Ben said, I did grow up in Home of Christ. Actually, I'm going to show you a picture. Let's see if this is working. There we go. This is me when I was 5 or 6. And actually, where this was, I think there's a few of you that were here. You guys know Home of Christ's first home used to be in Redwood City. This was, I think Elder Fang Fong told me, 1992 is when you guys moved here. But I was 5 years old, and this is in the back, and we used to be in the storefront. I actually don't know where in Redwood City it is now. I heard it's like a Safeway now or something. But we used to be this little storefront store on one side, and right next to it was a bar, and we were little, and I remembered this. And in the back was a creek. And so right out this back door is where the kids would go out, and what we would do is catch frogs, and we would race them. And so I have a lot of fond memories of being at Home of Christ, first home. Eventually, fourth home planted out of first home in 1989, and that's when I went over to fourth home. But I've been so, this time coming back to the Bay Area, I'm from LA now, but been back for a month. And part of my heart has just been so joy to reconnect with, like, my childhood and the people I grew up with. And Home of Christ holds a special place in my heart. I've gotten to just meet with a bunch of friends from mostly fourth home, but just friends from the past. And it's just been so joyful to be here because I know God cares about this church. God cares about you guys. Some of you guys are younger, and God's going to do something in your life. I'm thrilled to see all my friends who are following God still. I'm in my 40s now. So 40s and 50s, even though we grew up as young kids in this church. So I'm really excited to be here. As I mentioned, I went to fourth home. As a young adult, I was a teacher here in Cupertino. I'll tell a little bit more about. And I spent my young adult years here before I moved to Pasadena in 2010. And since then, I've been serving at a church called Epicenter down there. But I'll share a little bit more about my story later. I'm really excited to be able to share with you today and share some of God's word and for us to be able to hear what Jesus' words say. And so I know you guys are in a missions month. And I actually entitled my sermon, Sent Out. And so that is a pretty common term. You know, Jesus sent out his disciples. Jesus sent people out. People get sent out. And I remember going, our church used to have missions months every year, and they'd invite these speakers. I remember, if you guys have heard of Hudson Taylor, I remember his grandson would come, and he spoke perfect Chinese, even though he's white. I was like, oh, wow. And they'd all be like, God says, here I am, send me. Are you willing to be sent? And I remember going, yeah, God, here I am, but please don't send me. I don't want to be sent. I, you know, anybody relate to that? I don't know. Maybe you guys are all ready to be sent, but I remember going, that feels really scary. These people are doing these things for God overseas. He learned Chinese. He grew up. Or it feels uncomfortable. Like, it's outside my realm of comfort. Or I could go, God, how could you even use me? What do I have to give? Wouldn't I just be better off doing X, Y, Z? And I share that as we read into God's word today, because I think that's a very relatable thing. And in fact, I think Jesus knows that about people. We're going to look at a passage today, and we're going to look how Jesus sent out his disciples and what he knew about them as they were being sent out. And I hope that for each of you, you could hear it and go, God, okay, maybe I'm still scared. I'm still uncomfortable. I still don't know what I'm going to do, but that you can have greater confidence that Jesus has placed in you everything you need to partner with him in whatever he's called you to. Okay, so we're going to pray in just a moment. As we read scripture today, I want to share a premise that I want you guys to come out of. So as we read scripture, and as I'm sharing out of this scripture today, I don't want us to merely understand, okay? It's not just to understand what's going on in the text. But in fact, I want us to read, as we read, go, God, how can I obey? And why would we do that? Because Jesus in the Great Commission, so the Great Commission is a big missions verse, therefore go into all nations, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, does it say teaching them everything I've commanded you? Okay, I don't know if you guys are, but teaching them, Jesus says teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always. So today I want us to come in and go, God, is there something you want me to obey? Not to hear and speak, but Holy Spirit, is there something you might be prompting in my heart today to obey? Okay? Let's pray together as we enter into the word. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the good news that you came to die for us, to rescue us out of our own sinfulness, out of the evil that's in this world, and to be reconciled to you. Thank you for that, God. And today, we want to know how to follow you more. We want to know what it means to obey everything you've commanded us. And so today, as we read in your word, would you open our hearts? How might you be speaking to us? How might you want me to respond today? God, wherever I'm at, I come before you and say, God, Holy Spirit, I'm open. I'm open to hear you. Would you come and speak to me today? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today's passage comes out of the book of Luke. I'll have it on the screens. It's a fairly long passage, but I'll read the whole thing just so that you can hear the context. And we're not going to go through every single part, but I want you to hear the whole thing that Jesus is saying here. So this is out of Luke 10, 1 to 21. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, or do not greet anyone on the road. Sorry, I went too far. Nope. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, you listen to me. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions to overcome to the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At the time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All right, there's a lot there, and we're not going to, as I mentioned, go through all of this. I'm going to pull out a couple of parts of passages just for us to kind of look at. And so just for context, this is Luke 10. When we're reading scripture, we always want to look at what's beforehand because it helps us understand. So right before this, Jesus had talked to some disciples about what it means to follow him. And so I don't know if you guys have heard the story, but the disciples or some people come up and say, hey, I'm willing to follow you, but I need to go and do X, Y, Z. And Jesus says, but, you know, first he says, I have no place to lay my head. Second one, he goes, you know, if you need to look back, you can't go. He's basically telling his disciples, you need to come follow me. And to follow me means don't look back. Come with me. And so these are the people he's sending out. So what we actually see in this long passage, I will say, is one of the first short-term mission trips of the Bible in Jesus' time. Okay, so he had selected 72 disciples. We don't know their names. They're not the 12 disciples. But these are ones who said, yes, Jesus, even though I just heard you say, you need to leave all these things behind, I will still follow you. And so I think it's actually interesting. We don't know their names. We don't know their faces. They're never mentioned again. Maybe they are, but we don't know their names. But these are ones who just said, Jesus, I'll go. And he goes, okay, here's what you're going to do. So he sends them out two by two by two. And he gives them some instructions. I love that he sends them out two by two because we're not supposed to do things alone. God hasn't called us to live as singular individuals. We're called to be parts of churches. We're called to be parts of teams. We're called to go with people. But let's look at what Jesus sends them out to do, because this gives us instructions for what it actually means to send out. Okay, so the first thing he does, what does it mean to be sent out? Jesus sends them out to pray. So these disciples are sent out to pray. And so the scripture says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Okay, things we notice. The harvest is plentiful. Okay, if we believe the word of God to be true, then we need to believe that Jesus' words are true. I don't know what it's like for you. I've lived in California almost my whole life, and I feel like my sense of what's going on is people aren't very open. They don't like Christians. I was sitting there, you know, I get on Reddit sometimes, and I'm convicted. I was like, I need to stop reading this. But like, Christians are the most evil whatever on the earth. I was like, I don't think people really want to be Christians these days. Anybody relate to that? Okay, yeah, it feels more like, okay, I have to hold this close to me because I know Jesus, I know you love me. But Jesus actually says the harvest is plentiful. If Jesus says it, we need to believe that it's true. So the issue isn't that there isn't harvest. It isn't that everybody's closed. What does Jesus say that the issue is? He says the workers are few. So it could be natural. In my tendency, I'm a doer, so I'm like, okay, workers are few. I'm going to go. That's what Jesus, but he doesn't ask those guys to go. What does he say first? He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers out into his harvest field. Our first assignment we see Jesus give his disciples isn't just to go, it's to pray. So when we are sent out, our first thing is we are sent out knowing we get to pray. We depend on God. We trust him to raise up what needs to be raised up for us. Which leads us to the second thing I see in this passage. So sent out in dependence. Okay, it says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. All right, I was sitting here in this passage, and I was like, oh, lambs among wolves. What does that feel like? Right? Kind of feels like that. A singular lamb being surrounded by wolves. Doesn't that feel like that sometimes? I just mentioned how it sometimes feels in California. It's like, oh, everyone's just going to pounce. Why does Jesus say this to his disciples? He knows it's not easy. It is not easy to go out. He knows it is difficult. It's scary to think about what it looks like to go out. But he addresses that and says, I know that. I know you are being sent out like a lamb amongst wolves. And then he says, don't take anything with you. Don't take a purse or bag or sandals. Don't greet anyone on the road. And so these guys had just heard from Jesus saying, hey, leave everything behind. So really what Jesus is saying is, would you depend on me when you go? Don't depend on your own abilities, what you have, the money you earn. Don't take care of yourself. I want to take care of you. And would you be focused to go where I've called you to go? All right, I'll flesh this out a little bit of what it means for us. Okay, so the third one is proclaiming. He sent out to proclaim the kingdom to the prepared. Actually, the way I wrote it was, he sent out proclaiming the kingdom to those he's already prepared. And so the disciples go and tell them to go and find this phrase, houses of peace. So he says, go to a house and say, peace to this house. And if they say, okay, come in, then he tells them, stick around. Okay, don't leave. Stay there. And then he says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. I don't think I have the next slide. But he also says, if somebody doesn't receive you, what do you need to do? Just move on. I tell this to you because I say, Jesus told his disciples, there's already people I've prepared that are open. There's people that are hungry. The harvest is plentiful. And so we don't need to fear rejection, because rejection isn't about, I'm not doing my job. I shared the gospel and nobody took it. I couldn't, get somebody to know about Jesus. We are looking for those that God has already prepared and bring the kingdom there. You could actually look, there's a whole world of, I don't know if it's research, but people call this thing persons of peace. If you ever want to read about it, you can look it up. It's big in the missions movement. But the idea is there are people, and if you can stay there, if you find the people that are open, they will be the ones to bring the gospel to their people. And so our key is to disciple people, not to go and just keep trying out there. It's fine to go and evangelize, but God's already prepared people who are ready to receive the kingdom of God. Let's see. I think my thing is froze. Can you push it ahead? One. Let's see if it'll... Okay, there we go. This is what I said. Even when you enter a town and not welcome, go into the feet. Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. We don't need to worry. God has prepared people, and we can just move on if there are people who will reject us. All right, let's go over kind of the three basic principles of how Jesus sends out disciples, and I'm going to talk about how this applies to us. So the first thing is we're sent out to pray, that his disciples are sent out to pray as their primary way of being sent out. The second thing is they're sent out in dependence. So they're sent out knowing that they rely on God. And the third is that they sent out proclaiming the kingdom to those he's already prepared. So what does this mean for you? Sitting here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Silicon Valley in 2025, I'm imagining some of you guys, who's in school? Raise your hand if you're in school. Okay, maybe about half of you. Who's working? Who's something else, not those two options? There's also like moms, sorry, classified in the working. I know what it's like. I'm a stay-at-home mom right now. But okay, so what does this mean for us? Because we're not living in those days. We're not the disciples that were called out. But I think there's relevance for us. And so I want to share a little bit about my own journey in this. So I mentioned I was a teacher here. And I remember before I started teaching as a college student. So those of you guys who are in high school, you're not that far away from college. And the big question that everybody's asking is, what am I going to do with my life? Anybody asking that question yet? Yes, two of you. The rest of you are like, I just want to pass my finals, right? But I remember in college going, okay, what am I going to do with my life? And I did have enough of God to go, okay, I think the right question is, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And so I ended up, through a series of circumstances, coming back to the Bay Area. I was going to UC San Diego. And I ended up getting my teaching credential up here. I felt like my next step was to teach. And I remember before I started teaching, I did sense God going, you know what, Ann, you are called to be a full-time missionary wherever you are. Okay, that's not just Ann. That's every Christian is called to be a full-time missionary wherever you go. And so my first year of teaching, I was teaching a fifth grade class in a school in Cupertino. I was 23 years old at the time, so this is 21 years ago. I did not know what I was doing, but I got my credential, and I was thrilled because I had gotten my first job. It was during a recession. I don't know how many guys feel in college. I know a lot of my 20-something-year-old friends feel the sense of, I can't find a job right now. It's really hard to. But God opened up a job for me during kind of a tough season in our economy. And I was thrilled. I felt really blessed. And it was my first year teaching. Anybody a teacher here? No teachers. Okay. Teaching, I will tell you, is like you get thrown in and it's just so much work trying to figure out how to do your first year. But for me, I was like, okay, God, I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing. I know that I know how to teach. Maybe. I got my credential. But I know you've also told me I'm called to be a full-time missionary wherever I go. So here I am in this school. I don't know what to do. I don't know what it means to be a witness for you. But I knew God said I was supposed to be there. So I said, God, I'm here. Would you come and partner with me? Would you do something in this school? And I'll tell you, it was really challenging. I really had to depend on God because I remember my first few weeks at the school, I was in the lunchroom, and everybody was just harping on Christians because we had just recently had a court case where one of the teachers sued the district for infringing on his religious rights and freedoms, and it caused this huge media thing, and the teachers was just so mad that this guy was causing all this distraction in our district. So I remember going in the lunchroom, I was 23 at the time, and people were just like, oh, these Christians, they're blah, 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 blah. I'm like, God, I'm in this place, and here I am a Christian, but I'm 23, and these teachers are like 30 and 40, and I'm a first year. I don't know what I'm doing. But I was like, okay, God, I'm here, and I'm going to just be the best teacher I could possibly be. So I worked in the school district, and we actually had a really great year. I had a great relationship with my coworkers. But I would say I was a little hesitant to share too much about my faith. I was young. And I remember in February of the school year, they told me, you're going to lose your position here. You're not going to be here next year because they were moving up the sixth graders up. And so I ended up getting another job in the district. But I was only going to be there for a few more months. And I'm like, God, if I'm only here for a few more months, why did you send me? Like, I'm here, or you know, actually probably what I think is, I'm a failure. Like, I didn't do anything for Jesus here. I was a good teacher. That's good. And then one day, I remember during a worship time, it was just out of the blue, I had this thought come in my head. I don't know if you guys, how comfortable you guys are hearing God. We read God's word, but I also believe God is personal. And I just felt this thought come in my mind. He goes, Ann, I want you to go pray for your coworker, Greg. So he had hurt his leg. He was like walking on crutches. You know what my first response was? I wish it was like, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. I was like, no, I'm not going to go pray for him. A couple reasons. Because I, you know, healing is not something I've seen a whole lot of in my life. And I was like, what if I go pray and nothing happens? How embarrassing will that be for me? And how embarrassing will that be for you, God? And I also wasn't that close. He was an older guy. And he was actually my teammate's fiance. And I didn't know him that well, but I was like, oh, will that be weird, me going to my teammate's fiance and, like, praying for him and whatnot? But I felt God also say, Ann, this is the only reason I've called you to the school. I was like, okay, well, if it's the only reason, I will try. And so I remember I felt really scared, but I was like, God, I'll do it. I'll just go pray for him. And I remember, like, emailing him one day, and I was like, hey, can I come pray for you? He's like, sorry, I'm busy today. I was like, oh, no, got shot down. But then what happened is I went and I tried to find him after school, and he left. And I was like, oh, no, I lost my opportunity. But I, the next day I went and emailed him. I was like, hey, and I emailed his fiance. I was like, can I just come and pray for you? I don't know what you think about this. And so I go over to his room, and I walk in, and all these students were there. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't pray for him. And to my surprise, he was like, hey, kids, everybody out. And so I went in, and I said, hey, I just wanted to see, could I pray for you? I don't know what you think about God, but, you know, I just felt like God wanted me to come and pray for your leg. And he goes, yeah, actually, I kind of grew up in some church, but I totally don't believe in God. But sure, you could pray for me. And I remember just praying. I said, okay, God, would you come and, you know, be with Greg, heal him, whatever. And then he looks at me, he goes, Ann, is it normal to feel electricity all over your body? I was like, not for me, but yeah, sure, I guess that happens sometimes. You guys know what happened? God moved in that moment. I was surprised. I was shocked. I actually wish I had been more prepared to actually go, that was Jesus. You know, Jesus is here for you. I didn't, but I left the room that day. But what was surprising to me is later that afternoon, my teammate emails me, and she goes, Ann, I want to tell you, I've been thinking about your time with my fiance, Greg, all day. And then we met up after school, and she said, Ann, I used to be a believer when I was a younger Christian. She was from South Africa. And she goes, but since I've moved to the States, I've kind of fallen away. But me and Greg have gotten together, and now that we're getting married, I've just really wanted to reconnect with God. But I feel like there's a huge barrier because Greg doesn't believe in God. So I've been praying for God to show up for him. And so she told me, he was amazed and perplexed because God did this act of healing in his body. He ended up actually not being fully healed. I won't go into healing stuff, but he experienced God that day. And she told me they started going to churches because he was open to it. And I guess I share this because when I think about being sent out, it's terrifying. But if we partner in prayer, and if we just go, God, I can't do it, he doesn't expect us to do it. He's going to do it. So in that moment, I can't heal anybody. Right? We know that. Jesus does have the power to heal. In that moment, he invited me to pray for that. Am I saying everybody gets healed all the time? No, but God in that moment asked me in obedience to take a step out. And I was able to go and proclaim the kingdom because God had already prepared Tanya and Greg. And they experienced Jesus. That's okay. Well, can you guys push it ahead? Some of you are called to do this in your marketplace, right? The way place God has called you, your coworkers. I know it's scary. I know there are company policies. In schools, there's totally a policy not supposed to share. But if God gives us an opportunity, we get to partner with him. And so let me share a little bit more. That was when I was 23. And so this led me a lot more steps along the way. And so I also think God is inviting us into the nations. This month is Missions Month. I briefly looked at some of the things you guys had, but you guys see people doing stuff because they believe that God is inviting them because God wants to see people all around the world reached and to know Jesus. And so I took some steps along the way, and I remember, as I told you, it's like, God, here I am, but don't send me. I remember in college, I was like, I don't want to go overseas on a trip. I don't ever want to go overseas. That feels really uncomfortable. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time, a lot of energy. Finally, when I was in my 20s, Fourth Home had its first short-term mission trip over the summer to Taiwan. And so I did go. These are just a bunch of different pictures of trips I've taken over the years. But I remember going, we partnered with Home of Christ in Taiwan. If you guys didn't know, there's a Home of Christ in Taipei. That's where we started from. And what I realized going to Taiwan, we did an English camp, you can see on the top two corners, is, wow, there are people who don't know Jesus. Because my world growing up was mostly Taiwanese, Chinese people, and they were mostly Christian because I spent so much time at church. Amazing. But then it was like, oh, wait, most people in Taiwan don't know Jesus. I think that opened my eyes to the lostness. And this made me ask and wonder and pray, God, what are you doing? And then I ended up taking another trip to Taiwan. And then I ended up moving down to LA. These are just little steps in my journey, never ready to actually go. But I was like, God, I'll go. And each step I got to experience, like, God is real. I'll just share one. I'm not going to share the whole story. But if you see the bottom right corner with that pagoda, this is in Northwest East Asia. You can kind of guess maybe where that is. If there's East Asia, there's a country, and then the Northwest region of that area. It is primarily Central Asians. And I remember that day we went out, and I wish I could tell the whole story, but I'm not going to. But that day, we were just praying, and we saw God just move through the weather because we were just praying over the land. And I'll just share this. So there's one moment. So before we went on this trip, one of my teammates was like, I feel like God wants us to know that he's in charge of the weather and that we don't need to be afraid. And so that day, you can see it was totally sunny and all these clouds came in. And then this little tornado starts spinning towards us. It probably wouldn't have killed us, but it was definitely picking up. And my team was sitting there, we're like, we're praying, what do we do? And I was like, I'm going to run, guys. I'm just telling you, I get scared easy. I ran to the car. But one of my friends is like, no, God told me he has power over the weather. And he prayed. And I saw that tornado go like this and turn 90 degrees sideways and go up the mountain. I just share this because I think each of my little yeses led to me being able to experience God in greater ways. And each step, I was like, God, I can trust you. You're trustworthy. I began to see his heart. God, you're doing something. You care about Taiwan. The picture on the top right, that's a picture of a youth conference in Tainan. This is a different church. This isn't Home of Christ. But it's somebody from Home of Christ who was part of that church. And it was just hundreds and hundreds of people, young people who never heard Jesus, coming to get to hear Jesus. And I just say, one yes leads to the next yes. Okay, so these are my short-term trip years. And then finally, God invites me about 10 years ago to this country. Anyone good at geography? Anyone know what country that is? You can shout it out if you know it. Malawi. Hey, great, Malawi. Good job. I did not know where Malawi was. but our church at the time had wanted to send out a long-term team to Malawi. And I wasn't thinking about Malawi, but long story short, basically God's like, will you go where the church is going to go? And so I was like, yes, God, I'll go and serve on this trip, team to Malawi. This was a longer term trip. I was planning to commit 3 years. I ended up going 1 year. But I went, and again, I want to share about this, sent out to pray, sent out independence. Let me show you some pictures. So Malawi, especially where we went, Malawi is actually a fairly Christianized nation. But there's one city called Mangochi. It's in the south. It's the third largest city. It is home to a people group called the Yao, Y-A-W-O. And the Yao people group are a Muslim people group. So they are the southernmost, largest Muslim people group in the world. The Arabs came in hundreds of years ago during the slave trade, and they basically converted this whole people group to be Muslim. So they would say to be Yao is to be Muslim. And so we went, and you can see it's very village, total opposite of Los Angeles, Bay Area, and tribal. And I was a single woman going out. I was supposed to go out with a team, but something happened, so I was ending up by myself there for a couple months before my team could come out. And I sat there going, what can I offer here? God, why did you send me here to Malawi? Middle of nowhere, it's pretty much, if you dig a hole through the earth, you pretty much get to Malawi. And in the same way, I saw God just show up. And so same way, I went out, and I was like, God, all I could do is pray. So I said, send out to pray. Let me go to these words. Send out to pray. So I was like, I don't know what to do. I have nothing in me, God. I don't know how to relate. You know, I'm totally opposite from them. At least they spoke English for a little bit, and I spoke English. But I started to pray, and we started to gather all the missionaries to pray. And then independence, it was scary. When we first got there, there had been an armed robbery of two missionary women of the Australian Baptists. And they had just gotten sent home to deal with the trauma of that. And so we had just landed, heard about the story, and it was me and one other woman who was there for like 3 months. And we were two single women. And I remember sitting there sleeping at night going, God, is somebody going to break into our house and try to rob us? And I got so scared. And it didn't get better because one day next door, it's owned by missionary organizations. And so there's a worker there. He's a believer. And he came over. He's like, they call me Annie. They're like, Annie, did you know that everybody in town knows that you live by yourself? I'm like, oh, and it's true, man. Like, I once, like, did something to a car, and everybody knew within 3 hours. They're like, somebody else came up to me. He's like, did you know, blah, blah, blah. I heard you did this. Everybody talks. I was like, oh. He's like, you need somebody to live on your property as a night guard. That's what he did to be safe. And I'm like, okay, Martin, do you know somebody? He's like, you need somebody you can trust. I was like, do you have anybody you can trust that I can hire to come be my night guard? He looks at me and goes, no, Annie. There's nobody in all of Mangochi that I would trust. I was like, then why did you tell me this? Love him, blessed brother. This is some cultural things too. And I said, okay, God, I'm worried. But God, if you've sent me here, you need to provide. I'm a single woman. I don't have a husband at the time. And that was weird. They're like, what? You're not married? You don't have kids? And I was 30 at the time. But I was like, God, then you have to be my provider. I have to depend on you. And so I remember along the way, people would come to my door all the time asking for jobs because the income discrepancy was quite big. I'm still a Westerner, and the GDP there is less than $1,000 a year average. So you guys think, you know, less than $1,000, that's $2 a day, $3 a day. And so even the fact that we lived on a modest budget, it's still like mansion to them. And so they come and knock, and I just say, no, 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 no. But then one night, I feel like God gave me a dream, and I dreamed of a man that had come to my door. His name was Edwin. And I couldn't shake it. I was like, God, I don't have anything else to go off of. I'm just going to have to depend on you. This is the only option to hire. So I go to Martin. I said, Martin, I had a dream. I think it's from God, but about this man, Edwin. What do you know about him? He goes, oh, actually, I've never seen him do anything bad. He looks like a hard worker because, you know, there's lots of cheating, lying, and he's like, he seems like a hard worker. I said, okay, Martin, I'm just going to go hire him. And so I hire him. He brings his family. We'd worked under a little bit of false pretenses because he was like, oh yeah, I speak English. And then, but when I hired him, I was like, dude, you don't speak English. But we did a lot of sign language, a lot of, you know, I got him a phone. He moved his family onto the property. And it did give me a huge sense of relief. He was a great worker and eventually just gave me a lot of ease. I was a 31-year-old single woman and just felt like, hey, I have somebody watching out for me. And so this is a picture of Edwin. two-thirds, 3 years. So we say, set out dependence. God provided. But then we proclaim the kingdom to those who he's already prepared. So I remember one day, about 6 months into him with us, he comes and knocks on the door. And he usually asks for like an advance on salary or something. And you know, we used to do this. So I was expecting something like that, like, could you give me money in advance? And he just comes up to me and he goes, I want Isa. And if you guys have ever heard Isa al-Masih, Isa is the Muslim name for Jesus. He's like, I want Isa. I said, what do you mean? He's like, I want to study the Bible. I was shocked because I don't know. Maybe I tried to do some things. But God had brought this man who he had prepared to come and work for me, to provide for me. And this man was also ready to receive Jesus. And a couple months later, I brought somebody who spoke more Chiao than me. And they led him to the Lord. And he ended up going to his village, getting baptized there. There's a bigger story to that. And they shared the gospel in their villages. And I just sit there and go, God, I didn't do anything except for to follow you. But yet you've prepared people in advance to receive the kingdom of God. And he did say, you know, I don't want to say, I think bringing the kingdom of God is important because he goes, he explained to somebody else through a translator, like, I've seen a lot of people come in and out, but I see the way Christians don't cheat, they don't lie, that you guys are honest and that you love, and that's why I want to learn about Jesus. It's really amazing. Because God, when he sends us out, we just need to pray, depend, and proclaim the kingdom. And those who are prepared will show up. I have experienced this over and over and over again. I am not an evangelist. I am not Billy Graham. I can't go out and talk to lots of people. But I can obey Jesus. And when I obey Jesus, he will bring me to people. If I am available, he will bring me to people who he's prepared. There are people in your workplaces that are ready or maybe curious. There are people who need prayer. There are people who need encouragement. There are people who are sick and need somebody to pray for them for healing. And each step I take, the more and more I get sent out in little steps, the more and more confident I am that God is good and he leads us and he cares about this world. So, God, wherever he calls us, he's going to be trustworthy. He's going to lead us to the right people. And so just where our family's at this day, this is my family. I didn't bring my kids today because it's a little hard to preach and have them come. They're also a little sick. But this is my son and daughter, Joel and Annabelle. They're 5 and 3, and my husband, Yong. And so we, in the middle of pandemic, I had 2 babies. And during this time, we had not been thinking about going anywhere. We were content. I was working at the church. He works at the church. We've been pretty good with our lives. It's comfortable. But this time we felt that nudge from God. Would you be willing to be sent out again? And so we took our kids out, 1 and 3, on a 2-week adventure throughout Asia, and then another 2-week adventure to Indonesia. And then next year at 2 and 4, took them again to explore what God was doing. And I know it's hard. It's hard with kids. But we just felt like, God, if you've invited us, we need to pursue and see what it looks like. And so they did great. But during that time, we heard God's heart for Korea. So my impression of Korea is tons of Christians. I was like, God, why would you send, like, why would you want people to go to Korea? There's places like Malawi and whatnot. Oh, by the way, I want to say, Edwin is still the, going back to Edwin, he's still the night guard there. 12 years later for my teammates that are there, they're still there serving the Yao. 12 years later. So it's amazing to me. God prepares people. But we heard that the young people in Korea weren't engaged with Jesus anymore. Their parents are 35% Christian. The young generation is 2%. And so we felt an invitation. God's like, are you willing to be sent out again? And I don't think there's some like push shove, like you must do this. I think it was an invitation from God. And I'll be honest, it's a little scarier this time. I have a 3-year-old and 5-year-old. Our lives were pretty comfortable in L.A. I mean, I was working a church ministry role. But, you know, things are familiar. Language, I know. My kids had their friends. But I have known in my life these little steps of being sent out and experiencing God. That I was like, God, I want to see what's on the other side of this. If you're inviting us, that means you're good. And there's something in it for us, and there's something in it for the people of Korea. And so we're going to try to move to Korea. That's what we're working on right now. I just put out my website. If you want to learn more, I'm not going to talk too much about our trip there. We're intending to go for the next, hopefully, 6 to 10 years, God willing, to serve, to plant a church in Seoul for young people and for some other groups. But we want to see a new generation of Koreans reached. And Koreans have actually they have been the biggest senders of missionaries over the past 30, 40 years. And we want to see that happen in young people again. And so if you want to learn more, you can go to our website, Choice. It's Che, but ches2korea.com. I also have a clipboard in the back on that table. If you want to sign up for any of our email updates, we'd love to share with you what's going on. But I share this because when we get sent out, it's baby steps of learning to trust God. And when I look at Jesus, he had a plan for these 72. When he sent them out, he didn't send them out going, just go. He said, I'll show you the way. They aren't special disciples. They weren't the 12. They were 72. It's like you and me. It's for anybody who's willing to follow Jesus. It does cost us something. It takes that step of like, okay, I am a lamb among wolves. I am going to have to put myself out there. And there might be people who reject me. But there are also people who are looking and hungry for the kingdom of God. And so I invite us today to consider, because if God is with us, he'll prepare the way. But we don't get to experience these things. I would not have gotten to experience everything I've experienced of God. God is good. His gospel is good. But I got to see more and more of who God was as I took these baby steps of faith. No matter what qualifications we have, he can use us. Because we can just go pray. We go out depending on him. We can proclaim the kingdom to those he's prepared. No matter what qualifications we have or do not have, God can use us if we are available and if we are willing to go. Okay, so he says, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not, so this is after the disciples, they're like, whoa, basically they say, whoa, God, what you said happened. Right? They're like, that actually happened. But he goes, you can do all these things, but do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I think the most key thing is we get to be sent out knowing we belong to Jesus. This is Jesus' work, not ours. Is my life open to be given over to Jesus? So what does this mean for each of us? Can I invite our pianist to just come and play a little bit for us? What does this mean for you sitting here at HOC 1 or HOC Menlo Park today? I share a lot of my story not to go like, look how amazing I am. I'm not. I think my heart is, God is trustworthy. My heart for the church in America is, Jesus is worth taking a risk for. He's worth following. He's worth giving our whole lives for. And God can use you where you are. I actually just heard, I heard this ministry where they're trying to find, okay, so one thing I learned that's changed a lot in the past 15 years is the tech industry was always here, but the tech industry is booming here in Silicon Valley, right? Everybody, lots of people here are tech related. I just heard this story where they're trying to find people to go to Kyrgyzstan, tech people, men in tech, because they want to train up tech people in Kyrgyzstan because they believe that's the way to get into Kyrgyzstan and to bring Jesus there. I was like, wow, God, you can use specifically people in the Silicon Valley to reach the nations. But we have to be willing to go. So, three things that I want to invite you into based on where you might have heard from me. The first thing is, maybe for you, you need to know you belong to Jesus. Maybe you've grown up here, you grew up in a Christian family, but you're like, oh, I know I have to be here. But Jesus, are you really real? I went through this as a youth. I was like, God, I want to believe this is true, but I'm not sure it is, and I don't know if this is just emotions, but if this is you, I want to invite you today to just say, Jesus, I want to know that I belong to you. I want to know you're real. I want to hear your voice. I want you to bring me peace. I want to sit and rest in the gospel of Jesus. For some of you, it's, I want to trust him more. I need to take that step. I know I'm scared, or I know I've been afraid to hold, I'm holding on to this thing. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your vacation time. But God, I want to experience trusting you and knowing you're trustworthy. He is. He absolutely is. And then the last one is, perhaps your response to Jesus is, I'm willing to be sent out. And remember, we're sent out to pray, sent out to depend, and then just find those people God's already prepared. So it's not that I need to be this amazing person, but I need to be willing to be sent. And so maybe God's bringing you a person at your workplace or school that you're supposed to pray for or say hi to or say, hey, you want to study the Bible with me? I don't know what that is, but if I'm willing, God will lead you where that is. And for some of you, maybe you do need to go on a short-term missions trip. Maybe it's been like, hey, that's not for me. I'm good here. But Jesus wants to open your heart to see him more by going. And that doesn't mean you're going to go long-term or anything. It's just, God, open my eyes to see what's going on beyond the circle here. You know, we sang that song and sang in Chinese. Help me see what's going on beyond my comfort zone and my world. So let me just pray for us. I just want to invite you, wherever you are in that, just talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know I need to belong. I want to trust you more. Or God, I'm willing to be sent out. Jesus, thank you that you're trustworthy. Thank you that you sent those disciples out knowing they were scared. You told them they're going to be like lambs among wolves. But you also prepared the way and they came back astonished that what you said was going to happen, happened. And God, that's true for us too. I pray for people in this room. I pray that their hearts would be open to wherever you might be leading them, to their neighbor, to their coworker, to their classmate, maybe even to a, maybe there's trips this summer that this church is called to take where they are going to experience that together, 2x2 or 10x10, God, as a team. God, you would stir in their hearts to say yes to you, and that each person in here would take that next step of obedience with you. And that in that they would experience more and more of your goodness. Help us to follow you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.